Hey everybody, I'm Eileen Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast, where we teach you timeless biblical truths that can heal soul hurts. And one of those timeless biblical truths is the principle of connecting with people. And that's why with our podcast, we invite guests to come on and speak. And today's guest, I am so excited to have because I first connected with her on social media and I knew immediately, I said, you know what, she and I know that I could just hang out with her and have coffee. And the more that I have gotten to know her and her ministry, her book, she's the author of Becoming a Victory Girl. I am certain that God is going to use this woman in a powerful way. And so we are so honored and blessed today to have Amy Elaine Martinez with us on the podcast. Amy, how are you?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yes. We are so glad that you are here. And you know, you can catch Amy. She has a radio program called Real Victory Radio, where it's all about hearing how you can get real, ready, and equipped for that authentic life of victory, which airs at 6 a.m. and 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And then you can also catch that with live streaming available at 947fmtheword.com. And so you can catch her there, but also she's got a fabulous website, and it's so easy to remember her website because it's her name, AmyElaine.com. So go there. She's got some awesome free resources for you to download. And then, of course, her social media is really, I mean, it really is a blessing what you put out there. And I definitely am ministered to through that. So I invite you guys to get connected with her on Facebook and on Instagram by searching Amy Elaine. Or it's Amy Elaine Writes, correct?
You know, on social media, it is Amy Elaine Ministries or Amy Elaine Writes on Instagram, yes.
Okay, gotcha. So let's go ahead and dive in to our podcast today. And you've written a great book called Becoming a Victory Girl. And I'll tell you what I love about this book, Amy Elaine, is that you produce these, you know, powerful truths in such a clear, concise way. And I think that this is such a great book, not just to get for yourself, sort of like your handbook for those really powerful truths that we need to continue to remember to walk in victory. But also, this is such a great gift book to give to people too. I know I'm going to order some and just keep them. And if somebody is going through a battle, I mean, what greater way to give this to him? And it's like when you're going through a battle, you don't need to like read like some big thing. I mean, it's like, give me the powerful truths and give them to me straight. And that's exactly what you do inside this book. So I encourage you guys to check out that book. You can find it on Amazon. But let's get into that. So, and just, I guess, maybe the story behind writing that and your passion behind what you've written. How did you become a victory girl?
You know, I became a victory girl through spending a whole lot of time with Jesus in the Bible, in the Word, and really connecting with him on a deeper level and starting to believe what he said was true for me, not just true for everyone else, but it was true for me and that I could walk it out.
Yeah. I love that. And that is something really, that I see inside of your ministry, because you want every woman to walk to that place of wholeness, and that intimate relationship plays a deep role in that. And so, can you help our listeners understand, like why is that? Why can't I just follow all the rules and just have my faith be that way? What part does that intimate faith play?
I love that you brought that up, the rule following. I used to be a rule following girl. I am the baby of the family, but by enough years to still be considered like a firstborn.
Uh-huh.
And I was a rule follower. I still am. I mean, I play by the rules. I follow, you know, the way that it's supposed to be. I don't like to deviate from that. It's real hard for me to not be a rule follower, but I have learned how to follow the Lord and His rules with a sense of joy, because I know that He's not trying to box me in. He's not trying to make me behave a certain way. He's after the heart change. And that is really what my ministry is all about. It is about the way that the Lord loves us so much. He wants to work on our hearts so that just as He delights in us, we can delight in Him. And one of my favorite things to say is that becoming is a heart work. Mm. It's hard work, but it's really a heart work. And when we can just sit with the Lord and let Him love on us, we begin to have a heart change. And when our heart changes, those rules are not debilitating. They're not restrictive. They are for are good and for a blessing. And it's easy to follow after Him in that respect.
Right. And that was all born out of a relationship, shifting from the rules to the relationship. So would you say, like, if there's a listener today, and I love becoming is a heart work, but then you also say it's a hard work, but it's a heart work. So can you take us deeper into that?
Yes, I think I can. There is a place where we just think it's going to be so much work and it's so hard, it's too much for us to be able to do. And it really is. The truth is, it is too much for us to do. And that is why we need a Savior. And when we get to that place where we can fully surrender and depend on Him to be everything that the Bible says that He will be for us, and begin to live that Holy Spirit lifestyle where we are intimate with God and able to do the things that He's called us to do, He will meet us in that place and He will begin to work on our heart of hearts. And though it is hard work to do the thing, to walk it out, it becomes so much easier, like I said before, because our heart begins to change. Did I answer
love
that?
Or it. Did I? No, I love that. I love that because it totally changes the motivation. And you know, and I think that we all like walk through this at some level. Like we start out following the rules, you know, to get God to love us, or because it's what we're supposed to do. And then tragedy hits and we realize we couldn't follow all the rules and that we're in need of His grace. And then you understand this great love that loves you despite the fact that you're imperfect. And then you're just like, oh my gosh. And not only that, but He's for me. And so His instructions, His teachings, that's part of His love for me. And it's a completely, you know, I'm doing, it flows from the love, not for the love. Because I know that I already have that. Because if God could love me in my imperfect state, that's a secure love. Like I can let go, like my parents may have not have loved me this way or whatever, but this is God's love for me because he's still there. Is that sort of resonating with what you've seen in your own faith journey?
Yes, I love how you said it. It begins to be from the love, not for the love.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is so good. I wrote that down.
Yeah, awesome.
Yes, it becomes just this act of devotion rather than duty. So we're not obligated to obey Him. He never says you have to do these things. But because our heart changes, we want to. We mm-hmm. begin to want to please Him with our lives. And when we do, the process of becoming whole, it just happens.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And today we look up and we're like, wow, God did that in me. I am not who I used to be. Thank you, Jesus.
Right.
Not who I used to be.
Yeah, love it. So was there a catalyst in your life personally that brought you to that place of surrender, of just walking in that deeper intimacy with the Lord?
There's been a few, absolutely. And, you know, I think that there are times in our lives when we go to a deeper level with the Lord, and then something else will happen because we're never immune to the difficulties of this world and the trials and the tribulations, or, you know, the sin in our mm-hmm. own lives. Mm-hmm. And so there have been a few, but there is, you know, one monumental place for me that really, where God showed up and I never looked back again. And for me, that was a place where I found myself just knee deep in old sin. Mm-hmm. Old sin that I thought that I had, you know, had victory over and that I had overcome and I would never go back there again. But one day I found myself literally staring into the eyes of another man that was not mm-hmm. my husband mm-hmm. and realizing in that moment that nothing had happened yet and I had all the power and all that I needed to say no and to walk away and never, ever, you know, give in to that sin again. And mm-hmm. in that moment, I talk about, and I'm sure that some of your listeners, if they've heard, you know, parts of my testimony mm-hmm. here or there, know God showed up in that moment and He said, baby girl, you don't have to do this.
Wow.
This is not who you are.
Yeah.
This moment right here is what my son died for. This is what I died for right here, this moment right here, so that you don't have to do this because you have been freed. You are already forgiven for what you did in the past and you don't have to walk in that same way.
Wow. That's powerful. Yeah.
You know, I didn't say all that and it was not audible, but that's what the gist of that moment was. It was, no, this is not who you are. You've been set free. Now walk in that.
Yeah.
Be the victory girl that I've made you to be.
Oh my gosh. That is so powerful because we all have those things that we struggle with. We all have those things that we struggle with. And I think like to be able to say, you know, with declaration, I don't have to do that anymore. I'm not defined by it anymore. You know, like if you, like I'm thinking about, you know, I mean, sometimes I get so stressed out that I will shoot off at the mouth and get angry and to be able to, and then to say, well, I can't stop that. That's not the truth. Like to say, just to boldly declare God's truth and to say, I don't have to do this anymore because I've been freed from that. That's hugely powerful. What was that moment like for you?
You know, in that moment, it was not so wonderful.
Right, yeah.
You know, because it was intense and I was getting ready to make a horrible decision that I didn't even realize the magnitude. You know, it wasn't just that the enemy was after my marriage that day. After some time and after really looking back on what happened after that and where God took me, I came to realize that that day, the enemy was really after my husband's salvation.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. Mm-hmm. If I had given in to my sin and not walked in the freedom that I had already been given in Christ as a woman who'd been redeemed from her past sins, who didn't have to walk in that anymore, that day would have been monumental because probably my husband never would have come to the place in his life 3 years later where he surrendered his life to the Lord.
Wow.
And I can't imagine. I didn't even know what the cost was that day. I thought it was one thing, and really it was another.
Wow. Wow. Well, and that's huge, you know, because of just the power of our choices, and that it not only affects our freedom, but the freedom of others and well as well. You know, you talk about this. You're talking about this idea of freedom, and we sing about that in church a lot, and we write about it, and it's inside the Bible. I'm probably putting you on the spot with this, but what is your definition of freedom for a victory girl?
You know what, Eileen? I think that you are putting me on the spot because I'm having to.
You're like,
but I love that. That's okay, because maybe it'll be really amazing and who knows what'll come out of it. But freedom for the victory girl, I believe, is the freedom to be who we really are in Christ.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I love that.
We are not bound by what our past. We are not bound by our inadequacies. We're not bound by sin any longer, because we have been given everything we need to be victorious. When we have Holy Spirit living inside of us, we are a powerhouse, and we can make those declarations, and we can live a life of victory because of He who lives within us.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that.
That's freedom.
Yeah. That's freedom. That's freedom. And I think too, like for me, and just in even thinking about, because at the core of, you know, all the mistakes that we make, you know, I think that a lot of them, especially for women, is that, you know, we want to be loved. And we, you know, are looking for that, and the freedom to know, I don't have to say yes to this to have love. I already have it. I don't have to do this. In other words, I don't have to like spout off at the mouth, because God is going to take care of the situation. So it's that, you know, I don't have to do this anymore. It's not all, you know, mine. To produce and take, I can depend on God's goodness and His, you know, what he has for me. But we have to be intentional about that. And that's what I love about your book, because I think that once we become a Christian, or I know for me, it was, okay, then shake, rattle, and roll. Like life is going to be all neat and tidy, but that's really when the battle begins. And inside of your book, I want to read this because it was so well written and so beautiful. And I think it'll resonate with a lot of women. But on page 29, you say, we have to believe in victory if we want to remain hopeful and be strong enough to stake our claim in the kingdom. It's inevitable that there will be battles in this life. We will find ourselves on the front line of the battlefield in our quest to defend our territory and take our land. We all have a spiritual territory that's assigned to us. It is our God-given parcel of land that He staked out for us before the foundation of the world. The themes of inheritance and provision are strewn all throughout the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. This land is rightfully ours, but we must be proactive and claim it as our own. We must stake our claim in the kingdom. This is where the conflict begins, ladies. It begins here, where the battle lines are drawn and where we must step out into the front lines. It's our inheritance. If we want all the Lord has for us, we will have to fight the enemy to possess our land and inhabit it. It's not just a visit like a vacation timeshare, but live in our promised land. I love that. I absolutely love that. And I know you're talking about in the book of Joshua, you know, where, you know, the Lord says in Joshua 1, he says, I'll give you every place where you set your foot. And so you have to be proactive about your inheritance and you know, and I think one of the first steps is believing that God is for you and that this, yeah, that this is yours and you don't have to live this way anymore. And I think sometimes I've even heard, you know, things come from the pulpit that, you know, that say otherwise. And so I think that's even just one place of beginning that this is something that Christ wants me to have. When you talk about your land and how for every person that territory is given to them, are there pieces of the land that are common for every Christian? And then are there other pieces that, for example, you know, God has something for Amy Elaine and for Eileen Thompson and for, you know, for everyone personally?
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that. I haven't written a lot about that, but maybe I should.
You should.
There is definitely a general, everybody gets this inheritance just because we have come to know the Lord and he's bought it with the blood on the cross and yeah, it is ours.
Yeah.
But there is also another level in Jeremiah and Psalms, both. There are scriptures that talk about how God knows our name, that he knows all the things that we're going to do, and he planned them out before the foundation of the world that we might walk in them. And that's a paraphrase of a couple of scriptures. It's an idea, not an exact scripture. But yes, there are places and things and people and territory that has our name on it. And God has designed for us to walk on those things and in those things and to claim that territory. And it's out there, but we have to go walk it out. We have to walk out every bit of our territory because there was action when he said that you have to walk out the territory. When you have to, every place you put your foot, well, you have to go out there and walk it out.
Yeah.
If you want to claim that territory.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do believe that there is a generalized, you know, everyone gets this when they come into the kingdom. But then there is also some very specific things, and they're going to be different for everybody that mm-hmm. God has specifically and uniquely designed for each one of us.
Yeah. And I love what you say there because, you know, when I'm thinking about a walk, that's a day-by-day thing. And that goes back to your point about your heart to really inspire women to have that personal, deep, intimate relationship because it's really about that day-by-day step that you take in the little things and in the big things. On page 32, you say, what's the key to keeping your land? Obedience, faithfulness and a devoted heart after God. And I think that that piece of obedience goes deeper with that intimate relationship because then, this is one thing we teach on the Nourish Bible Study Method. It's not about knowing it all and doing it all. It's about for this week, you know, what's the step that I need to take? So I absolutely love that. In your book, you have the Victory Girls battle plan, and you have things listed. And I think that this is I want to just unpack this for our listeners. And I want to challenge everybody listening to take one aspect of this, just one, and begin to implement it into your life. And so in the Victory Girls battle plan, and by the way, like if you want to get this book, so you have the battle plan in front of you and fleshed out in the book, you need to get Amy's book. Just go on Amazon and order it. But the first thing you say under the Victory Girls battle plan is first response, turn to God. So can you unpack that a little bit deeper?
Yes. The very first thing we want to do is not rely on ourselves and not think the thoughts that we would normally just go to because uh-huh. The Bible tells us that God's ways are higher and that his thoughts are different than ours. And we know that his thoughts are always good for us. And so they're better than ours because yeah. we, you know, do things like self-sabotage or we have, you know, the feelings and all the day's worries attached to those things. But when we can respond, respond first by turning, like making a complete, if necessary, physical turn towards God, or go in a different room, or pick up our Bible, or turn a worship song on to direct our heart and eyes and mind back to the Lord, then we will, from there, make better decisions, and we will be more powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
In
yeah.
His spirit.
Yeah.
In His
Well, and I love what you said, because a lot of times my first response is that, you know, the emotion, commotion, you know, and just how strong that can come on, and, you know, that fight or flight, but what if my first response was always to just press pause, to not make any rash decisions, and then to turn to God. So I love that. All right, next point, be humble.
That's a huge one. I think that David was so good at doing this mm-hmm. in the Bible, in Psalms, when we read in Kings, when we read about how he always came before the Lord with a humble heart and a humble spirit. And that's how we know that he was a man after God's own heart, because when we can humble ourselves before the Lord, sometimes the strongest place, the strongest position in battle that we can have is on our knees.
Yeah.
Not out there fighting, but humbling ourselves before God and realizing that He is sovereign, He is in control, that He has even, you know, possibly given us this battle to strengthen us mm-hmm. for the things that we have coming before us.
Yeah.
And He's going to walk us right through that battle. He's going to be with us. I talk about in the book that He goes before us and beside us, and He walks, you know, behind us. He comes up behind us and He cleans up the messes too. So I
yeah.
think that if we can turn our eyes towards Him and bow our heart before Him,
yeah.
that is an act of strength.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And that feeds right into the next part, which is worship.
You know, the thing that we don't want to do in battle and trial and despair and calamity and chaos is worship, mm-hmm. because that's not where our heart goes. We, you know, our mind goes in a million different directions, and we are scared, or we're hurt, or we're sad, or, you know, we're angry, whatever those emotions are. But when we can just turn those things off and praise Him, when we begin to praise Him, we are again so much more powerful, because our praise shuts the mouth of the enemy.
I love that. And you're absolutely right. And there's just something about, and even, you know, I've found, like, if I will just stop, and even, you know, like, if I wake up and I've those feelings of insecurity come over me, even taking 2 minutes to just worship God is such a game changer, such a game changer. So I love that you have that inside of here. All right, next, gather your tribe around for support. This is huge. This is huge.
It's yeah. so important. The enemy would have us isolate ourselves, and I am an isolator. I am a person who wants to just go and hide away and
Me
be
too.
Alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Part of it is, you know, mm-hmm. just my personality, just that I am an introvert, that I, you know, enjoy being alone. But some of that is not that good part of it. It's the negative part of being alone, where, because isolation is very different than spending time alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make sure that we know when we are isolating. And when we're isolating, we are pulling away. And that is a place where we don't have the body around us, the Christ around us. And when we're designed to have other people in our lives, we are designed to be relational with the Lord and with other people. And when we can remember to gather our tribe, instead of isolating, pick up that phone or send a text and say, hey, I need some prayer right now. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn out conversation. It doesn't have to be drama. It can just be saying, hey, I need for you to pray for me today. Or could we go get coffee? Because I'm in a place where I'm hurting or I'm confused or, you know, I'm just sad today.
Yeah.
You know, I just need someone, you want to go get a coffee? I just need some cheer in my life. I need some joy in my day. And our friends are more than happy because you know what will happen? The next time they feel like that, instead of isolating, they may call you or call someone else.
Yeah.
And gather around them. And it's so important to have other people around us because when we isolate, that's exactly where the enemy wants
us. Well, and I think for me, I think that, you know, part of my struggle sometimes with it is that I think I falsely believe that being a victory girl means that I don't have any issues, I don't have any struggles. You know, as a Christian author, I've got it all together. But it's not true. And a couple of weeks ago, a woman who is she's heavily in ministry here where I live, she called me and she shared with me a struggle that was going on, and it was exactly what I was going through. But in the conversation with her, because I felt like, well, as a ministry leader, I need to be whatever, I didn't share that with her. And it was like the Holy Spirit was like, you know. And so I called her the next day and I said, I need to share something with you. And I said, me too. You know, yeah. I'm going through this too. And I think that that's refreshing for people to see that, you know, it's not just somebody that has it all together, that we're all on this journey, that as a believer, that you walk through battle after battle. And if we keep that buried and we're trying to handle it on our own, like you said, the enemy has us, he has us right where we want us. And I think a lot of times for me, the reason why I haven't come forth is because, you know, I felt like to be a victory girl, I needed to appear perfect or whatever, but that's not the truth. That's not the truth. And you point that out in your book so well. All right, so gather your tribe and then trust God for the victory.
That is as simple as really just saying, I am going to trust you with this victory. Even though I can't see it right now.
Yes.
I know that you are good. I know that you are for me.
Yes.
Carrie Jones has a song called You Are For Me. And I remember a particular time in my life, we were just almost about to be homeless. We ended up being homeless for about a month. And when I say that, we were out on the street. I mean that we had $0 and we had to move in with my parents. That was not a fun time. And right before that time, the months coming up to that time were really hard. We had downsized from, you know, a big humongous house to a very small condominium. God was stripping things away from us and off of us for our good. And I remember hearing that song, You Are For Me, and really believing that he really is for us, even though the circumstances around me say otherwise, even though things hurt or don't seem like we're going to recover, you are for me. And simply believing that, and like you said earlier, making that declaration is how we trust him.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's an act of our will to trust him.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. And I love how you're talking about, you know, just saying and speaking all these before and just believing. I think that's very powerful too. All right. The next one is to give thanks.
And that's another thing as well. Just like, I think I write in the book, I say that God's battle plan is strategic and it looks nothing like the enemies. If we'll surrender our way to the Lord, there is joy, reward, victory, and peace to be had. Let's look at how Jehoshaphat in the Bible, how his battle turns out. And so when we're looking at how he battled things out, it doesn't look like what we think it will. And the Victory Girls battle plan, yes, does include giving thanks, because when we give thanks for those things that may not yet be, Mm-hmm. We are thanking God in advance that He is good for us, that we are going to come through this, that there is victory to be had, and that He's going to see us through. And when we begin to say those things out loud, like you said, and we change our heart again, we've already become humble. We've already worshiped Him. Now we're even going deeper and further and saying, thank you. Thank you that you are going to show up. Thank you that there is going to be good that's going to come out of this trial. Thank you that you are in control.
Yeah.
And don't have to be. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
So it's another sheer act of will to be humble, to worship Him, and to trust Him and give thanks. And we're getting ready to talk about this last one that just doesn't even seem like it's a battle plan. You know, that it's strategic at all, but it really is.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Okay. So moving from that, then the next one is rest and stand.
Yes. And I think that that is something that we think, what? Rest? Mm-hmm. That's not a battle plan. That's not a battle plan at all. We can't be getting anything done. Inactivity is not going to produce any results, but really it's God's way. And He says that He will give us rest, and that we are to be still and know that He is God, to acknowledge Him as God. And when we do, He will fight on our behalf. He will fight for us.
Yeah.
And so that rest, although it seems counterintuitive to sit down and rest, we are strengthened in His presence.
Mm.
Psalm 18:39 says, "For you clothed me with strength for the battle."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a baby and they're like kicking and screaming and moving, it's hard to get them dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is with the Lord. When we are, you know, throwing a fit or screaming and crying and trying to just do all the flurry of activity, He's like, just rest so that I can put my strength upon you, that I can lay it upon you and renew you and help you to be strong.
Love it. Beautiful. And I think, you know, just like you're saying, it seems counterintuitive, especially for all the ladies in the house that are fixers.
Yes.
Formerly fixers, but I still struggle with it. I'll still want to stand up and do and fix. And sometimes, you know, that position of rest then can be very challenging, because for us to believe that we don't have to, quote unquote, do anything is, it's just counterintuitive. But that's really when God can step in and just do His great work and bring us to that place of victory. Amy Lane, thank you so much for your time today. I would love for you to have the last word on this podcast to our women, specifically in this way. Can you speak directly to a woman right now who may be listening and she's walking through a battle and she's just in that place where she's so discouraged? What would you say to her?
You know, I think, Elaine, that I would say to that woman, because I have been that woman, that even though you feel like there is chaos all around, God is not a God of chaos. He is a God of calm and strength and peace, and that is all yours to have. And when you will go before Him and just ask for what you need, sometimes that's the hardest thing, is to ask the Lord for what we need and ask Him what you need. Sometimes we don't even know what we need. And when we can go before Him and say, God, I don't even know what I need in this situation right now, but you do. Mm-hmm. So would you provide it? Would you open my eyes to see that? And I could just pray right now.
Mm.
yeah, open my eyes to see the things that you would have me see and reveal your goodness in this moment of sheer terror or chaos or unbelief for me. Reveal who you are to me that I might see you for who you really are.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. I love that. Any final thoughts, Amy, that you want to share with our listeners today?
You know, the whole crux of my book is that really it's called Becoming a Victory Girl. But here's a spoiler. You already are a victory girl. If you have come to know Christ as your personal Savior, and that is the first big step to becoming a victory girl, you have everything living inside of you through the Holy Spirit to be victorious and to have intimacy with God and to become and do and be all the things that He is destined for you to be.
Oh, well, Amy Elaine, I needed to hear that today. And here's why, because I think so many times we'll say, well, I don't have that in my wheelhouse, or I don't have, or, you know, whatever. I went through this, and so I don't have that. But we have everything that we need. And what a beautiful, awesome reminder. What a great book. And I just thank you for writing it and for sharing your wisdom from us. Because your wisdom is not, it is biblically based, but it's also the journey that you've taken. And it's principles, biblical principles that you've applied and that you've been able to see God's hand in your life. And I know that you want that very much for every woman out there. So thank you for that.
I do so want that for every woman. That is my heart, that we would, as women of God, walk in the wholeness that He provides for us and live in the victory that He's given to us.
Love it. Awesome.
So, yes, that is my heart.
So if you would like to check out Amy's resources, she has a blog that you can subscribe to. There's a free resource called From Fear to Freedom that you can download. It's absolutely free. And the way that you can access those is by going to her website, amyelaine.com. That's AmyElaine.com. And we'll also have that link at the bottom of our podcast description so that you can find that. And so I leave you today with Amy's words, which are, becoming is a heart work. And thank God that God is the one who writes those words on our hearts so that we can stand on them and to walk in freedom. Thank you so much, Amy, for being a part of today's podcast. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. And I look forward to airing and seeing you next week. Bye-bye.